Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Around the NFL podcast has tips for Steve Martin's podcast.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, joined by heroes Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Every once in a while, Money Tag comes along, and I don't know what the hell it's about.
Yeah, zero context.
It's fine.
We look at each other. We do a little, you know, kind of fake giggle, and then we move on because it has no meaning.
Does Steve Martin have a podcast?
Who doesn't?
I don't know. I know he's got a banjo.
Looked it up.
Maybe it's a banjo podcast. I don't know.
Do you know anyone that does not have a... I mean, literally every human I know is operating some sort of show at this
what
point.
What about Simone? Life with the Sesslers pod. I would definitely listen to that.
She does not. So you've already foiled my theory, but you're right.
This is the Tuesday show, the Around the NFL podcast. Greg has made it out of the BTS concert alive. You were able to navigate. Your daughter and your wife made it out of the venue. You got out and home, apparently, because you're here now. Unless you never got them and they're still at the stadium somewhere. I don't know.
Spicy.
Oh, I thought you were getting them. It took a while to get out that night, but it is nice. You know, we work here. It was nice when we walked over from the Chargers game the other night. And this time I just said, you know, meet me at the bottom of the stairs outside of NFL Network. And there they were, you know, right after the show. Took a long way to get home. But what a tough cookie, you know, that Ellis is. Loses a tooth about an hour before the show. Getting bloody. Going, you know, running up to a bathroom, wash it out, get back to the seat in time for the show, standing up for three straight hours, having a
trooper.
Screaming,
trooper.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. So BTS is still owning the world where we live, but we have football to discuss. We got a good one today. Brian Baldinger, the king of tape. I call him the tape pit bull because he's the most fearsome of all tape dogs.
Hmm.
That's new. I don't know if that's going to take, but I think what I'm trying to get across is that he's peerless and ferocious, and anyone that tries to step to him, watch out.
That's a level above a tape dog.
Sure.
I mean, I hear where you're going with that.
Everyone else is a tape golden retriever.
Sure.
When you get to Baldy and his ability to study, and I think we need his help because we never played the game. And there are questions we have about what's going on in a very strange NFL season. We seek answers, so we turn to Baldy. He's coming up a little bit later. Also, Thursday night football. Can you believe it? Week 13 will kick off in just two short days. And the Dallas Cowboys, who probably wish they had a normal schedule at some point where they play on a Sunday, with all their COVID issues and injury issues, they are on a short week. Although I guess they played last Thursday, so it's not a short week, but you know what I'm saying. They play against the Saints, who are free-falling out into nothing right now. They are going to try to keep their season alive. We'll get to that and preview that with Connie Fox, the Tiny Box. But before that, you know what we... Mark, you know what we do around here.
Sure. Now we're going to cover another aspect of football that occurred this week.
Absolutely. We close the door on week 12 with our Monday Night Football recap, sponsored by Not a Goddamn Thing.
Beholden to no one.
Beholden.
Yes. Mostly.
To nobody. Until they tell us.
Then we are.
That we're beholden.
Then we are under lock and key with like zero control.
Good little boys.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky.
Wilson takes the snap. He looks over the middle. That is thrown into the end zone and is picked off. Kendall Fuller picked it off. And Washington maintains their lead. Now they just need to survive a kickoff.
Ah, there it is. The Seattle Seahawks had a chance for a miracle comeback. Could not get it done. Russell Wilson, line drive, incomplete pass. Taylor Heinicke throws his arms up and rejoices on the sideline because the Washington football team is alive and well in the NFC after a 17-15 win at FedEx Field. My goodness. Mark, so it's funny because, and we'll get to the Seahawks, which it's a whole other thing with them, but Montez Sweat, he goes out for the year. Then Chase Young blows out his knee. He's out for the year.
Sweat's coming back, right? I think so.
Is he coming back?
He had a jaw issue.
Yeah. Oh, he had the jaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough injury there. He'll come back at some point.
He's still sweaty.
But without these players, the defense has come alive, and they're playing that Ron Rivera ball that Ron loves, running the ball 43 times for a buck 52 and a touch in this game. So Washington is relying on an old-school style football and against the Seattle Seahawks team that cannot get out of its own way. That was good enough on Monday night.
It is. Greg and I were talking, I think, before last week's preview show that Ron Rivera kind of does this everywhere he goes, where it's like, let's start wicked slow, then round into shape, form an identity that looks a lot like Ron Rivera, and start kicking people's butt.
And often, like with teams that don't even end up that good, remember that 7-8-1 Panthers team that won the division by winning four straight? And then they did a similar thing last year, and here they go again.
They did. They did.
That was the game where they won 3-2 in the wild card round, and Cam completed like 12% of his passes, and then was posing and smiling on the sideline like they had just.
How dare you?
Well, that's
how dare
that's
you besmirch a victory over Ryan
does.
Lindley's Cardinals.
Oh, right, it was that game. My goodness. Anyway, yeah. So Washington gets it done with their defense, with their running game. Ron Rivera's feeling it. And more fun with Taylor Heinicke, who didn't really stand out on a high level, but still 27 of 35. And I just, again, appreciate the way he runs this offense. And I thought he made a lot of smart decisions as well when he could have maybe forced it the way we've seen in the past, the way Russell Wilson has been known to do at times this year. He instead took the shorter option and kept them on this path, which was, hey, Seattle stinks on offense. We're not going to take extra chances. We're going to count on our defense, and it paid off.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 41 minutes of possession had something to do with the football team and something to do with Seattle's defense. They beat them up on both lines, Washington. And Taylor Heinicke, 23 of 25 on passes of fewer than 10-plus air yards. I mean, they were hitting intermediate little shots and getting yards after the catch, and their ground game has really come to life. I mean, they, you know, J.D. McKissick, who I don't think has been mentioned on this podcast like all year,
I've
has been great for them.
I've said his name four times and given some.
Well, then I've just
analysis.
Mentioned him for the fifth time, and it's due. He deserves a little bit of a nod. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, Taylor Heinicke, I get that the debate goes on whether or not he would continue on as a functional starter after this season, but what more do you need to do to be watchable, to run this offense? And they are a team to me that, like, I had these little pet teams to shield the dislike of my own team and what they're doing to me inside. Washington has shifted right into that, and I'm surprised because I've never really been into Washington
really?
On any level. Yes,
well, they've got
they're very
they've
fun
got,
to watch.
It's not surprising to me. Mark likes 16 play drives.
Absolutely.
Often that end in field goals. Like, that's what Mark's into. At one point in this game, before that last Seahawks drive, it was 79 plays to 35. They had a 15 play field goal drive in the first quarter, a couple long ones in the middle. And then the biggest reason to give this offense some credit is that 16-play, 90-yard drive that they couldn't quite finish out because they didn't have a kicker. They would have kicked a field goal to win the game, essentially. They didn't have it. An overturned call that was questionable on the goal line, you know, ended that drive. But they held the ball for over 8 minutes, and it was very similar to how they ended the game against Tampa. All that said, I don't want to give the offense, like, too much credit in a game where they went 3-and-out about 5 times.
5 times in a row.
Like, the defense was the star here for Ron Rivera for Washington. Washington went 3-and-out at least 4 or 5 right. times in this game.
Well, Seattle took it to the next level. They got
the job
5 consecutive times, and there's only 2 teams in the NFL this season.
A lot of times you don't get the ball back that many times if you keep...
There's only 2 teams in the NFL this season that have gone 3-and-out 5 consecutive drives, and somehow it's the Seahawks twice.
It's not surprising when you watch them, though. It's just, like, historically shocking.
It's unbelievable that it's gotten to that point. The end of the game, just real quick, it's kind of a cliche. I don't even know what a catch is anymore. Like, that's a thing people say all the time.
Right. So
I mean,
last night
I thought about Wes with that because nothing drove him crazy. That was his thing for about 4 years on this show.
Right.
It drove him crazy, the catcher. At some point, we kind of thought they fixed it. In the last couple of weeks, I don't know.
That touchdown catch at the end of the game, that has to stand there. And it kind of gets wiped away. I think it was Logan Thomas. It's ruled a catch on the field. There's no, to me, clear evidence to overturn it.
Plus, you know a catch when you see one.
And yet they overturn it. And thankfully, at least that's where my perspective on it, not just because the Jets draft pick keeps getting better because Seattle keeps losing. It's like Washington deserved to win that game. They made every play they needed to make. And then you make this arbitrary ruling that opens the door for Seattle to have this miracle comeback. I didn't like that. The fact that they then recover the onside kick, Seattle, and go from missing the 2-point conversion to tie it at 17 to potentially getting the ball back near midfield to win on a field goal, only that then gets wiped away because one of the guys was lined up on the wrong side of the hash mark. I mean, it's Seattle season in a nutshell. The frustration, there's just layers of it.
That 2-point conversion, you know, that we heard before, to me, said it all about Russell Wilson. Like, that ball's got to come out. I'm telling you, I'm trying to think of a mid-level quarterback. Yeah. Mac Jones or Cousins, most likely, or Tannehill. That's just like a timing throw, and the guy's open.
Right.
And DK's open, too. His second receiver's open, too. And Russell Wilson just holds it. And I know they had that last-minute drive where it felt like they were the Seahawks again. But even within that drive, there was that sack that I know you tweeted about, Dan, where Wilson's just holding the ball forever, and never – you could almost see him thinking and never gets to the thought, I got to throw the ball away, and get sacked there. And so even in that comeback attempt, which should have been great, like that 2-point conversion left me with such a sour taste because I'm just thinking, like, what is going on with Russell Wilson?
I mean, he is in the most non-functional – offense by far of his career. He leads the team last night with 16 yards rushing.
But it was highly functional earlier in the season. That's the part I don't get.
I'm just saying where they are now. I mean, it's not just on Russell Wilson. He's not playing well, but I mean, there's like, they're out of tune. Like, DK Metcalf doesn't get a catch.
Well, how much of this
deep in the game
should be put on Shane Waldron? How much should be put on Russell Wilson? How much should be put on the fact that Russell Wilson came back early from the finger surgery?
He says his finger's absolutely fine. So
yeah,
if he's telling
he's
the truth,
say that.
All right,
I mean,
but then that's on the
he's
team.
He's missed a lot of throws since he's come back. And the DK Metcalf thing is, Greg, you were kind of beating the drum on this for a couple weeks now. It almost looked like he took himself out of that game.
Do you know who he was complaining to on the sideline, too?
Let me guess.
Geno Smith. Seahawks Twitter loved that. They're like, there's something going on here.
Geno has always been a guy that keeps a locker room together.
There's one thing
that I know.
DK Metcalf was just venting. But to get Brian Griese criticizing Russell Wilson for not seeing the field, it's like it takes a lot. I think they're just so hesitant. I'm not saying it's all on Russell Wilson. It's not like they were lighting it up with Geno, but they weren't different, that's for sure. And I know his fingers hurt, but a lot of it just seems like there's open guys and he's not throwing it to him. And Pete Carroll came about as close as he could. He was very supportive of Russell Wilson. But to just admitting that, I think anyone that watches his film right now can see that for whatever reason, he is scrambled.
Yeah. And can I just say something? We have emergency quarterbacks. This is going to sound like a bit because I talk about the kicker club. But doesn't this happen enough now? We see this enough during a season where losing your kicker, and he popped a hamstring, the Washington kicker, Joey Sly popped a hamstring on that extra, man, that was kind of a crazy game. The PAT block that turned it to 2 points for the Seahawks to make it 9-9 before the half. Like, that really changed so much in that game, right down to what we're talking about. They couldn't just kick the field goal to ice the game, and it almost cost them the game. Why isn't there some type of emergency kicker situation? I know you say, oh, roster space, this and that. All right, then make it a 54-man roster. It's strange to me that it's that you have no security blanket.
It's happened with multiple teams this season, too, in a weird campaign.
But your punter can't hit an extra point, or you can't have some wide receiver who used to be a soccer player practice?
I guess not.
Right, these are like premier athletes. You think that almost, I mean, I was on like a, I've told you this, I played Pop Warner. We had a kid that could kick extra points.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
But it's like, how do you not have at least five people that have kicked extra points in their life?
Maybe there just wasn't confidence in him. But that was another, by the way, struggle with the situational football from this Monday Night Football crew.
Uh-oh.
They didn't mention that whole drive. And that was this anvil hanging over that whole drive where they kept hitting the third and the fourth downs. And it was like, that's so huge because they don't have a kicker. Didn't mention it one time until the about 10 seconds left on the play clock.
And you're out going for blood, fourth down. You're out for blood. I do admit every time the Manning cast isn't on now, it really does
affect
my Monday viewing experience. Like there, I tweeted about it. I said, like, oh, I feel like these guys are my friends now. And it was actually a really heartwarming little social media moment for the old Zeuser. Tugboat's mentions were all like, that's how we feel listening to your show. Oh. It's like, oh, that was nice.
Look I like that. Oh, yeah.
There you go, Mark.
I mean.
All right. That's Monday Night Football. Weird, funky little game. It's fun. Let's take a break, and then Baldy.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, now it's time for a guest. Listen, we don't have a ton of guests on the podcast, and when we do have one, it's because, you know, they're the goods, and it's one of our favorites. He is the great Baldy of NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, one of the great tape men in the league, one of the great adventurers of the universe. And Baldy, before we get into what's some questions we have about things we can't figure out in the NFL, and you're hopefully going to help us, and I'm sure you will, Greg took his or Greg's wife took their daughter to the BTS show at SoFi Stadium this past weekend. And it did get me thinking, what's the last concert that Baldy went to? Getting loose.
Well, you have to fill me in. What is BTS? Well, who is BTS?
It's like a K-pop, Korean pop band, but they're like NSYNC, but like worldwide, okay. Right?
And don't act like you don't know. Oh, yeah. It's for kids. You can acknowledge
just for your own zeitgeist education on this. Baldy, they've played four nights live in a big at SoFi.
I mean, that's a big stadium, so they must be pretty popular. But you have to understand, I live in a bubble, like a very small, little, narrow bubble. And if BTS isn't being played on one of my screens, then I have no idea who they are right now.
So it's fine. Honestly, if you were at the show, everyone would be creeped out a little. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. Well, what about you? Your last concert?
My last concert was Billy Joel. Billy Joel at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, New York City, probably just before the pandemic.
Okay,
so it's been a long stretch.
Now, even though I'm a native New Yorker, I've never been a Billy Joel guy. I was always more of a Springsteen guy. But I have to say this about Joel. Joel figured it out. He got out of the game as a recording artist in like 93. He did the River of Dreams album.
Yeah.
He said, I'm out.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm not hitting the road and touring in my 60s. I'm setting up a residency. Oh, you're going to go to some dump in Vegas or go down to Atlantic City? No, bro. I'm playing MSG. I'm playing the Garden once a month. Forever, how long I want. That's actually one of the great baller moves in rock touring history.
Well, I've been good friends with the guys in the band for a long time.
Oh, you know,
Billy's a Long Island guy. His drummer is an original drummer, Liberty DeVito's from my town, Massapequa. So, and all the roadies are like some of my best friends. So, Larry Doby Sr.'s son, Larry Doby Jr., you know, does all the lighting for him. So, like, wow. I get treated like a rock star when I go. I get to go back there and tinker around with some of the guitars and pianos and stuff. So, it's been fun. It's been a fun run.
It's yet more evidence that there is the lives right. that we live, and then there is Baldy's existence, which is on about a level 35 levels above my level.
He did it. Baldy did it. Baldy won. All right. Let's turn to football, Baldy. Now, this is what we want to talk about here. We're trying to figure out this NFL season. It's a tough one. This is a toughie. Even beyond other seasons, there are mysteries that we have, and we need help. We need a real tape dog, a premier tape dog like Baldy, a guy who sees the game in a different way. So, Mark, why don't you get us going? Something that you need assistance with that Baldy can help us.
Well, look, this is on brand. Baldy, you know that I'm a Browns fan, and I just have to ask you, let's just microcosm down to what happened in the Baltimore game. And feel free to go beyond. But they were as healthy as they had been in eons, in months. Everyone's there. There's no excuses. They flatline. They fall apart. They look nothing like the team from last year or even at high points earlier this year. When you're watching, I know you love their O-line and stuff, but when you're watching this offense, help me not just simply fall off a cliff psychologically. What is going on here?
Well, you know, the Ravens, Wink Martindale, he understands what the Browns are trying to do. They give him a lot of different looks. They're not easy to prepare for. When you look at a guy like Tyus Bowser in that game, he lined up everywhere. He was man-to-man on the tight ends. He was rushing the quarterback. They really went after the right tackle in Cleveland, you know, the backup to Jack Conklin. So they found some weaknesses, and they exploited it. And they just couldn't take advantage of the field position or the extra at-bats that they had in that game. And they looked like a 10-point offense, you know, coming out of that game. Defense couldn't play a whole lot better than what they played.
So let me ask you this, Baldy, because Stefanski dismissed it out of hand after the game. When you watch Baker in this state, do you think there's a case for Case Keenum taking over and trying to juice this offense? If they're a 10-point offense, that kind of tells me the answer, but I'm curious what you think.
Well, I know, you know, look, I feel like I know Baker. Like, I've watched him since he was at Texas Tech, just doing Big 12 games. And so when I watch him right now, he doesn't look like the same guy. Like, I don't know what it's like to throw a football with your other shoulder strapped to your chest,
right?
You know, and what that feels like. Baltimore planted him into the turf a number of different times in that game. And so, you know, when I watch him, I don't know just the mechanics of what you got to do to compensate for that. I said weeks ago that this is a ticking time bomb. I don't know if he can survive the season or not. He bristled a week ago when people said he wasn't playing well, and he wasn't playing well. I mean, like, I know that that offense is not that difficult to figure out. There's openings to throw the football and where it's got to be, and he has not gotten the ball to his receivers consistently where he's got to get it to him. And so some of it is on Baker, and some of it is everything else around him right now.
Takes a lot of hits too, Baker, that he could avoid. I mean, that's part of the reason he keeps getting hurt. In that game, like, I expected the Browns offensive line to do better in general. That they're one of the best groups in the league. And, you know, we're coming off talking about this Washington football team on Monday night, and I look at what the Patriots have done, and I look at the 49ers right now and the Eagles, and it feels like it's 2021 and all these defenses that are so light are now getting counteracted by guys like Bill Belichick, who want to play with these heavy fronts and they want to play pounded out football. They want to bring it back to the 80s and 90s. Do you think that there's a little bit of a sea change in the way that offenses are trying to win and a lot of running heavy teams getting it done in this season?
Well, if you want to get fixed right now, like, for example, I was just watching the Rams. The Rams don't move the line of scrimmage at all. All they do is position block. And that's why the 49ers handed it to him. And that's why the Packers just handed it to him. And, you know, the quarterback isn't great right now, but they can't move the line of scrimmage. But when you do, when you watch the Eagles, I mean, it's a shame. They should just play academy football, the Eagles. They should never throw the football. Just run it. Like, they would have scored 25 if they just did that against the Giants. But yes, the 49ers right now, the Washington football team looked really good last night. The teams that are the Patriots have been, when you commit to it, it does make life easier for your quarterback. He does take less hits. You generally do turn the ball over less when you commit to the run. And so when you look at these teams that are kind of surging right now, you can look to the offensive line and how they're playing the game and how often and frequently they're turning around and handing the ball off. And I don't want to leave Cincinnati out of the equation.
Who's
there
your favorite,
because,
though? Which like line really gets Baldy juices?
Well, I mean,
on a Monday,
like,
morning,
you know,
is like,
I mean,
the first game you want to put on.
Well, you got to watch Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata right now. I mean, you know, that's like,
oh yeah.
That's like a feature on HBO right there. Like, that's the main event, you know. But like, you know, but even going back to, I was like out there on the field Sunday at MetLife Stadium, and there's Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach of the Eagles, and there's Landon Dickerson. And there's, you know, Jordan Mailata, and they're just working on fundamentals for an hour straight before the game. Now, I'm saying this, and they lost the game, so I look like an idiot. But I don't see anybody from the Giants working on it. I don't see anybody doing extra work before the game just to sort of tighten things up on looks they're going to get. And sometimes it's just that simple. Like, you got to work on the things that you need to get work on. And the Eagles, they'll get back to what they got to do here pretty soon, probably this week. But yeah, I mean, it does start up.
Giants,
but watching that group right now is as good as there is.
The Giants don't look like a team that needs to be doing extra work, so that checks out. We're good. We're good on that front. So.
There you go.
All right, Baldy. I'm looking at the playoffs right now, the way it's set up. If the season ended today, I see Washington moved into the seventh spot with the Monday night win. You got the Chargers, who fell into that seventh spot in the AFC. I'm going to throw out six teams to you, and you can tell me which one of these fringe teams right now, not only you think have it in them to make a run and get a playoff spot, but win a game in January in the playoffs, a team you think could really cause some havoc. Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Washington, Vikings, Falcons.
I'd still say, I think I just cut myself. I don't know what I did.
Vikings,
we'll take it out in post.
I got to talk about the offense line. I just scratched myself.
You're a passionate man.
Like, it's just beautiful. Yeah. I still think, like, the Vikings, I mean, obviously they were disappointing against San Francisco this week, but that offense is a good offense. Now, I don't know what Dalvin Cook's situation is right now. That can make a difference. He's a game changing type player. So I don't know what his situation is. I feel like if Washington got to the postseason, they would be tough because of the way that they play. Like, they play keep away because that's how the quarterback, I mean, I think 48 of their 70 something touches last night went to McKissick or went to Antonio Gibson. Like, they play a very different style of football than just about anybody else. Now, McLaurin can still get deep on you. Logan Thomas will help him now that he's back. But I think the way that they play right now, defensively, they're doing a lot, and they're playing hard for a change. They didn't play hard the first half of the season, and they were hard to watch because they didn't play hard. Now they're playing hard. They understand how hard you got to play. And then offensively, the quarterback doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I feel like that is a team, if they get there, I think that's a team that can win a playoff game.
Baldy, this blood on your face is now going down the whole side of the face. Now, I don't know if you're bothered by it because it's an audio show. To me, it's perfect that you are the first guest to literally have blood lead streaming down your face. Like, this is amazing.
Remember when before J.J. Watt got the surgery, the plastic surgery, and he would just open up that gash in his forehead? And it was kind of like the most badass thing possible. Right. For you to do it in front of a team cam at NFL Films headquarters, you are the ultimate grinder.
Right, I know you got to be careful. Well, you're wearing a nice suit right now, but like, if you had asked me, who's the perfect guest to have a bloody face while he's talking O-line? It's Baldy.
Well, you know, you asked me about concerts. I was thinking, like, I've been to a Kiss concert when Gene Simmons is, like, spewing blood,
right,
you know, from the ceiling. So that kind of ties together. And, like, it's not really a good day unless I'm drawing blood somehow, sure, like something, you know, sure, like I'm walking through a rose bush and I'm scratched, or I scratched myself talking about offensive line play. Like, it's not really a good day unless I'm drawing some blood.
That's good.
Well, there is only one Baldy. We've figured that out. I will attempt to bring us back into the world of the gridiron here. The Bills, I think that they drive me a little bit nuts. The Jacksonville Jaguars game, what happened there, the way they were stamped by the Colts, they've got an acid test showdown with the Patriots. And I would, when you watch them, do they just simply not match up well with rugged offenses like Indy and New England that want to come in and run on you? I mean, they've been statistically, DVOA-wise, a very good defense. What do you think about this team? Why are they so up and down compared to a year ago?
Well, I mean, Tremaine Edmonds didn't play against Indianapolis. I'm not saying that he would have shut down Jonathan Taylor, but they would have been better inside with his presence there against Taylor. You know, they're a passing team. And so last year, everything went well. Like, when the play wasn't there, Josh Allen could create a play and he'd find Stephon Diggs, or, you know, he'd find Gabriel Davis, whoever. They don't seem quite as creative when things don't go right away right now, the way they once did last year. And so I think that's part of it. And they kind of, you know, the running game is just, it's really just a chance for Josh Allen to rest his arm. That's what it looks like to me. Like, it's not really any kind of a commitment to it. So when those kind of teams start blitzing you and chasing your quarterback, you're like, how do you slow that down? Most teams, if you had a balanced offense, you could run it and you could take the blitz out of it. They don't really, you know, have that luxury because they don't really commit. Like, maybe Matt Breida is going to be their running back right now. It's like they're looking for it. And Zach Moss wasn't even active last week. They can get pushed around up front. Like, the Colts did push them around pretty good. They're vulnerable to that. You know, when the Patriots play them on Monday night, I'm sure you'll see I formation, Jakob Johnson at fullback. And I'm sure, you know, they'll get tested by a pretty good run block and offensive line of the Patriots.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, them just running Josh Allen more, that could solve it. Like, you might not want to make your living doing that all regular season, but as you get closer to the playoffs, like, let's make it a little more like 2015 Cam Newton for Josh Allen. Like, go chase that championship. I thought when we saw the Chargers live too, Justin Herbert running, you know, really helped that Chargers team out. They are a team I can't figure out at all offensively. Like, I don't want to put much of it on Herbert because it feels to me like he's playing well and making a lot of big plays, and yet the offense seems to just get confused or stuck in mud. Like, what do you see there with that team? That's maybe the number one team, especially on offense, that I just can't get a handle on.
Yeah, well, they're a little pass happy in how they want to do it. A lot of these teams are listening to these analytics experts, and they're just going, okay, you know, if we flip this coin 1,000 times, just what you got to do in order to win. And I, you know, sometimes I just think if they just ran behind Matt Fowler and Rashawn Slater, like, you couldn't go wrong. You know, Austin Eckler behind those guys, and sometimes they get away from that. So I think they could run it a little bit more. When Justin Herbert does take off with it, like he did against Pittsburgh, they look a lot more dynamic. But when he got to just drop back and throw it right now, too many bad things are happening to him. He's throwing these interceptions. The ball's glancing off Austin Eckler, you know, into the opponent's arms like it did on Sunday. You know, there's Patrick Surtain taking it to the end zone. You know, I think when you look at if you play the Denver Broncos, I mean, make them stop the run. That seems like that's been an issue for them. And don't play to their strengths, which is their secondary. And so I thought their secondary outplayed their receivers throughout that game last Sunday. And, you know, Justin Herbert at the end of the day looked pretty pedestrian.
All right. There is a final Billy Joel concert. And, uh-oh, here comes the encore. And you got, what's your drink of choice, Baldy?
Well, whatever's cold, you know.
You got an ice cold beer.
Not too.
You got, because of your buddy, the drummer, and all the roadie guys, you're actually side of the stage. So you're there for the last ever Billy Joel concert, the encore. Three songs. Pick them, baby.
Well, Bottle Red, Bottle Right. Oh, I mean, when we can sing along with that one, that would be good.
Got to do it.
Yeah. I would say Leningrad is a good one. Right. I like that.
A little weed and start the fire.
Well, I haven't, that's a little too pop for me.
Yeah.
I, you know, I guess, you know, with the encore, we'll just go straight Piano Man and we'll just have like 19,000 people to guard.
You got to end the career with
together
piano.
As the lights come on.
You've nailed it.
You did nail it. You even nailed your own face, opening up a wound.
Yes, I did.
That will heal in time, but we'll always have this to remember. Baldy from NFL
yes,
Films.
You will.
Headquarters there in Jersey, Mount Laurel, where he is grinding out the tape. And if you want to come into that room, as he said to us before, you could come in, but you better come in to play. Because I don't want you sleeping on the couch behind him when he's in the 12th hour of tape grinding. No. You come in to dog, you be a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, get your Red Bull in you early. Or no dose, or whatever your choice is.
No dose.
You know, get your extra Vente or whatever it is. Like, you get it in your system.
Go to the street if you have to. Find it wherever you need it to stay up all night with Baldy.
I mean, yes. Ideally, no civilians would be bothering you, but in this plan, they're coming off the street to bug you. I don't like that.
All right. Baldy, thank you, my man.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Be good.
There he goes. The great Ryan Baldinger.
It's a contact sport. He's coming on our show. You know, it's dangerous.
I mean, we're known as the most physical podcasters around. I mean, that's just facts. You know, that's big facts, as they say right now.
We out physical the other pods that we compete with.
I would say we can hold our own against the other football podcasts.
I mean, Greg, you know, it's also the first time anyone's ever been slashed on our show. So the statistics, the analytics suggest that we're not as physical of a crew as we think.
Greg would be the shifty Sproles-like guy. He could dart around, maybe get behind a guy, and then I'll use my heft to like push a guy over. And then Mark, you just need to like, you remember the old Nintendo hockey game?
Middle guy.
Yeah, you're middle guy.
Fat guy, thin
fat
guy, middle
thin guy.
Guy.
Middle guy. Your job is just to fill in all the gaps.
Right. I use middle. You could pick your lineup on that Nintendo hockey game, and you have to. It's a blend. You have to learn over the course of many defeats the blend. And middle guy is core to it.
Need him.
But you can't just have middle guy. You need bigger guy, smaller guy.
The problem is other football podcasts, I feel like if Mark was on those, he'd be the small guy. That might be more his role. And now I'm pushing him into middle guy. And we're a lightweight group.
I got bills to pay, so
we're like
I'd make
the
it
bills.
Work.
We're like the Bills. We're a finesse team.
Right. You're like it's like you don't have a number one receiver. Somehow I am the middle-sized person, which is a problem. Hey, why are we still talking?
Maybe, why are we still talking about that? Let's take a break.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA. We'll be right back.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
All right, we're back. Up next, well, we're doing Thursday Night Football, so let's start with the Queen, Queen Jonas. But I know you're gonna like it in my city. And I don't want to spoil it, but I'm working on something behind the scenes. You know my feelings about Will.i.am and how he slathered really bad 2011 production all over this otherwise perfect song.
Okay.
Come, yes. Come on. I'm working on a anti-Will.i.am mix. So stay tuned, everybody. And now,
you're busy in the list.
Slightly vindictive, but I root you on in that project.
And now joining us, yes, she's the queen of Thursday Night Football. You know who I'm talking about. It's the tiny box. It's Connie Fox, Colleen Wolf. Colleen, you should know this. How are you, by the way?
I'm great. I know the answer to that.
You should know this, that Greg's daughter bled for the Korean pop group, BTS.
Bled? She like Vita Vea style?
I mean, she lost the tooth.
Actually. No way.
Good parallel.
She wasn't headbutted by a football helmet or anything.
No,
that's
she didn't
good.
Vita Vea.
Came out naturally.
But although that would have been an amazing story if one of the members of BTS gave her the broken tooth. That probably would have made the news. But anyway, so blood there.
Okay.
We just had Baldy on. Bleeding during our interview with him.
How?
I just opened up a gash on his head like J.J. Watt.
He's getting excited and he scratched himself.
It wasn't the one finger that's disjointed. It was the other hand, but it scratched the cheek. And suddenly, the lighting didn't make it totally evident, but he turned at one point and just saw a little river of red coming down the cheek.
Right.
Battle scars. I love it.
So the question is, will Colleen Wolf bleed for the Around the NFL podcast?
Well, I did just put a Band-Aid on. So
thematic.
When it's a Minnie Mouse band,
right? It's pink with like polka dots.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's covering up a burn. So,
all right, Connie. So great to have you. And you burned yourself cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
I did. I lit my finger on fire by accident.
You broke your finger catching a football from Kurt Warner.
Yep.
I mean, you're a bit of a disaster, but that's part of the reason we love you.
Exactly. I'm not perfect. I know it's hard to believe, but I too have flaws.
All right, Cowboys Saints, you're going down to New Orleans. Not Miami.
My
New
family.
Your
That's
family.
The new one.
For this Cowboys Saints game. And it's a story, Connie, of two teams that are searching right now. The Cowboys searching to get healthy, searching to get guys back on the field, searching for a way to avoid the COVID-19 bug. Mm. And then a Saints team that has not been able to get out of its own way during a losing streak that has really kind of sent their season into a dark place. Somebody's going to be feeling a lot better at the end of Thursday night. Somebody is going to feel like the walls are falling in.
Yeah, and this really is the story of these two teams just not having guys available, whether it's because of injuries, whether it's because of COVID. I was texting with Jane Slater, who's going to be the reporter at the game on Thursday before this pod, and she was saying that right now the Cowboys are up to 13 players or coaches Whoa. That will be sidelined because of COVID. Now, that actually does include Amari Cooper, so it could be fewer, but we know that his symptoms are ongoing, so his status is still up in the air for this game. Right tackle, Terrence Steele, he's out, and then you have a slew of coaches, multiple coaches on the offensive line are out as well, strength and conditioning. So the big one is obviously Amari Cooper, following his status to see if he's going to be available. CeeDee Lamb, he did practice in full. So they will at least have him. But this is a bad stretch for them. They've lost three of their last four after starting 6-1, and they haven't been able to run the ball well. Zeke, he's banged up his knee. This is the worst four-game stretch of his career. Pollard, he has the explosion. We've all seen that from Tony Pollard, but he doesn't have that same power as Zeke when he's healthy. So they're just not running the ball effectively, and that's also hurting Dak and the passing game too. And the thing is, though, in this game, I wonder if things will switch if Dak is feeling better, or if Zeke's knee is feeling better, because the Saints run defense that has typically been really good to start the season, that's actually been a pain point for them. So they were fabulous. They held 8 of 9 teams to fewer than 100 rushing yards to begin the year. And now back-to-back weeks, it's been a problem. The Eagles ran 242 rushing yards on them. Part of that is due to injuries on the Saints defensive front. Marcus Davenport, Tano Passanio, they've been hurt. Neither practiced on Monday. So it's going to come down, Dan, to who controls the line of scrimmage.
I don't even know what a catch is anymore.
The Saints are a mess. I mean, the Cowboys are catching them at the right time. You could flip it and say it's true the other way, but Tyron Smith's at least back. He looked good on Thanksgiving. CeeDee Lamb being back is massive. It's like, oh, it turns out, actually, yeah, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb matter. It'd be nice to have, like, the best, you know, wide receiver combo in the league. If you have one of them, it sounds to me like Cooper's trending to not playing. That makes a big difference because the Saints are probably getting Kamara back. He was limited in practice, and Ingram said he's fully back. He's back. But they didn't have either of their tackles, Teron Armstead or Ramczyk, back. It's like you've just taken too many pieces away, but at least you're adding one to make this a little more watchable, and that's Taysom Hill. I mean, assuming our guy Rapsheet is right. The Trevor Siemian bus went off.
I can't tell if he's being serious right now.
He did a fist pump, too.
I mean, I don't want to see Trevor Siemian behind fourth and fifth string tackles anymore. I just want to see what happens with Taysom Hill. At least add a little of craziness.
And a little juice to the Saints who are dealing with so much. At least Hill gives you some element of excitement because that's been lacking under Siemian.
Yet I feel like I was the one banging the drum for Taysom Hill for a couple seasons there, and I don't feel the excitement around Taysom Hill, more so than Trevor Siemian. I mean, that's a stale milk at this point. But the Saints, I mean, it doesn't solve what's around Taysom Hill. If you get Kamara back, that's a big thing because they haven't been able to run the ball either. Mm-hmm. And if the whole idea was get Ingram and Kamara back together and you've got a functional backfield because they are an empty cupboard at wide receiver. I mean, it's just a mess. And DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be back for the Cowboys too. So you got Micah Parsons, you got Lawrence. I mean, I just don't like the matchup for New Orleans at all. They've been really watchable. They've been a really tough-minded team, coached well, but it's just like there's no hope. There's no hope. Then they're a mess.
On Thanksgiving night. They weren't watchable against the Eagles. The floor kind of fell out of this team. Now, Kamara and Ingram returning, maybe they get at least one of the tackles back. Armstead did finish that game, so that's confusing to me. Like, if you, all right, then they've been this, like, feisty defense that right now, like, the Cowboys keep being favored in these games. Like, they were heavy favorites against the Raiders, couldn't get it done. They're pretty heavy favorites in New Orleans. Like, they got to prove it, too.
Last time I checked, I think the Cowboys are laying 4.5 in this game. I thought about locking it up, but there's just too much indecision around Dallas right now. There's too many question marks. Dan Quinn is in for Mike McCarthy as head coach, and we just don't know what's going to happen. Who knows if more positive tests pop up between now and Thursday. So it's just kind of like a stay away and see how it all plays out. It should be noted that there was some reports out there early in the week that Zeke Elliott has this knee injury that could use a break, like put him on the bench or really lessen his role and have Tony Pollard take on more. Jerry Jones came on the radio on Thursday morning or Tuesday morning and said Zeke will have a, quote, serious load on Thursday.
I heard that. He also said he fully expected Amari Cooper to play. So it's like, you know, the Jerry Jones radio segment weekly, it's a little bit of science fiction mixed with potential fact. That's how I take
right.
this.
What a
manufactured joke.
It's like him saying the most optimistic things possible, and then the coach is always correct.
They're just thinking, what?
No, that's not true, Jerry.
It's all part of the job, working in Dallas.
Need Dak to play a little better. He finished out that game well, but he was been out of sorts a little bit.
You know, the
calf injury.
You know that thing that, well, maybe some of us, your aunt would have hanging in the hallway, and it's the footsteps on the beach, And the man asked Jesus, why aren't you there for me?
Right.
I heard you bring this up on Good Morning Football. Let's finish it out.
And he's like, why did you betray me or leave me?
No, it was not a betrayal scenario.
I corrected myself. Why did you leave me in my time of need? And he's like, no, those footsteps, I was carrying
Bingo.
You. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I brought it home, Mark. And that's what the Cowboys kind of need from Dak. He's got to be their personal Jesus. Like, get us through these hard times, because since he's come back from the calf, 2 out of 3 games, he's been part of the issue as well. So Dak has to show that, like, listen, get on my back. I am one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'm going to kick some ass in Thursday Night Football. I'm going to be on the dais with Connie Fox and the gang. Ooh. Like, let's make that happen. That's good. That's ratings dynamite.
I would love that, because, you know, Irv would be out of his mind if the Cowboys won. It would be
nice. I think he'll be very...
He'll be rocking, he'll be very balanced,
Irvin, during this. This won't be tilted in any way.
My favorite thing about Michael Irvin is that he has to take a selfie with the star of the game on his phone after every interview, and we all make fun of him for it now. So I'm sure he's going to be all over whoever it is. But if it's a Cowboy, it'll be
better. And be honest with you, no one's listening. Mm-hmm. Where's the relationship between Irvin and Steve Smith right now? Because there's been, you know, heat in the past. I think Steve Smith promised to kick Irvin's ass once and was not joking about it.
No.
Have there been any run-ins or any heat, any drama in the air between these two wide receiver greats?
Can I just tell you, these two, I have watched their relationship completely turn and blossom into something beautiful and real and genuine. And it has been the strangest journey I've ever been on.
Really?
But they legitimately will talk and help each other and show each other notes. And it's kind of adorable.
Anybody a little disappointed? They were kind of like...
She's been on some strange journeys, too. I can
promise
you that.
Colleen's face just like lit up the love that she has for this journey that they've been on. It makes sense. Because it's like when you're too similar... To me, they seem like they have a lot of similar DNA here. So at first... Yes. You know, you find that person annoying at first, but then once you got a little time together, they're seeing the connection.
It's Will Ferrell's character and John C. Reilly's character in Step Brothers. Like, they wanted to destroy each other in the beginning. It's like, are we best friends now? That's, I think, where Irvin and Smith,
happening.
It sounds like that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Is Joe Thomas sort of the odd man out here? It feels like...
No, they're all just like bros now.
Right. And it's Joe Thomas's birthday on Thursday as well?
I think his actual birthday is on Saturday, but he's going to celebrate the entire weekend.
Happy birthday to Joe Thomas.
I never remember like my best friend's birthdays, and Mark knows Joe Thomas's.
Well, I was informed I didn't know that out of hand.
I mean, set up that flare.
Right.
Okay. All right, let's pick the game. Why not? What the hell? I got Cowboys 31-20.
Cowboys 58, Saints 12.
Okay.
Because I want it to happen. If the Saints can get Kamara and at least one of the tackles back, I think they can cover this game at least and make it like a field goal game at the end. If they're missing the tackles, forget them.
Score.
Kill them.
Yeah, what's
low
score?
Scoring, 23-20.
I hate...
You're not allowed to.
Why? I always pick.
No, they do on the game.
Oh, they do?
I'm not allowed to, but I do anyway.
Oh, you're a bad girl.
I'm a rebel.
Someone's not watching TNF Preview.
Dangerous female.
TNF Preview. Cowboys, 27-22. Something weird's going to happen.
Everyone in the control room, she can't do that. She can't give a score.
I just did it.
In heart.
She's the host.
Apoplectic producer person.
That is my favorite, like, stupid TV thing in sports television. Hey, listen, can't do it. I'm James Brown. Can't give you a score.
I know.
Right. God forbid Moses leading us through the haze with your score, James Brown. The dumbest thing, though, actually, is when they pan to like the back room on Christmas and like everyone's sitting there like waving like they're in a hostage scenario. Like, wait, you finally get your moment in the sun. Please.
Ouch. Well, that actually is kind of a warm thing, I think.
I like those people. I'm saying it's a minor... they should receive more attention. They get no attention.
You think it's too manufactured.
It feels very 1988. Back then, it was they're wearing Christmas trees around.
Maybe you changed.
I kind of love that.
You like the people, but you despise all their kids and wives and families at home wanting to see daddy.
That's a nice narrative by Greg. I am saying that essentially they deserve more of a nod. Maybe give them their own show. Behind the scenes, but
just waving at the camera
an hour and a half of that 90
the
minutes.
The control room show is always the better show. I'm not going to lie. It's so much fun.
TBD. Mm.
I feel like that's what the kids call gaslighting, what Mark was just doing to us now.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, Greg, I'm annoyed with Greg.
Tell me more.
No, I don't want it because this is just every time Mark speaks, Greg concocts some lie, a total lie about Mark. I'm not gaslighting anyone.
I have to say, if you do miss, because I do miss Steve Smith wanting to kill Michael Irvin, you can tune into this podcast when Mark wants to kill Greg.
Sometimes he wants to kill you.
It doesn't last. It does not last long.
To be fair, yes, we all get it every once in a while. But I mean, if you were looking for a real replacement.
This warms my heart.
All right. Connie, you've said it all. You've done it all.
I have.
You've lived a life in the industry and you're just getting started.
Back with my family. My family.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Los Angeles. All right. There she goes, the queen of Thursday Night Football.
So
and there we go. We will be back on Thursday, of course, with the Week 13 preview. Also, the recap of the game we just previewed. You can catch that on Thursday as well. It's going to be Greg Rosenthal, one of our favorite overseas exports. Imports?
We imported him. They exported him. We imported him. That's how trades work, trade deals.
Absolutely.
Embargoes.
One of my favorite things as a teenager was at the height of my fandom for the UK band Oasis, traveling to Times Square, going to the Virgin Megastore and finding those import singles that had all these great B-sides on it. That was living. That was like, you know, like when you used to watch The Control Room when you were in 88 and you said, this warms my heart.
Yeah.
That's what I think about, 96, taking the bus to Times Square to get those imports.
Same thing.
Dan, you know how you always tell me that I'm going to be a great old lady?
Yeah.
Like, I see that within you. You're going to be a great old lady, Dan.
I'm already there. That is the nicest compliment anyone's ever given me.
I know,
Colleen.
Right?
Thank you.
I love it.
All right. Here we go. That's enough. What do you think Erica's thinking?
Like the show's 15 minutes too long. Why is she not in her car driving?
Dan Head, sign over Quiet Storm. Connie Box, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.